Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 274 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? And I should say 274 take two. So I started to record this in my office on my iMac, and about 10 minutes in, for some reason, it said the disc wasn't recording fast enough and it just shut down. So now I'm back onto my MacBook Air. As long-term listeners and fans know, I am definitely challenged when it comes to technology. You know, I've had a few problems, and when I get a problem, I try to work around it. So here I am, recording again, no problem. I don't know what's going on with the iMac. Maybe time to replace it or something like that. We'll see after the pandemic's over, and I can talk to the folks at Apple. I want to give a shout out to some people on the podcast. I really appreciate you guys listening and the support you give. I get emails and so forth, and I appreciate it. So I got to give a shout out to a few friends. My buddy Pablo, who I am surprised is a fan of the podcast, and I appreciate it. And the reason it surprises me is I've known Pablo we were talking about it. It's got to be close to 40 years. We used to work in aerospace together. He sort of started his career. And I love that he's listening and laughing and in support. I got to give a shout out to Florence down in the Carolinas, my biggest fan. Florence is fantastic. Tanya in New York, who comes to every show and supports everything I do. And yeah, so many of you out there. I really do appreciate it. I'm going to be doing a show next Thursday, May 7th. At the Nowhere Comedy Club. It's a virtual show. You go to nowherecomedy.com, nowherecomedyclub.com rather, and you can buy tickets. It's going to be me and Mal Hall. If you've seen me live, you've seen Mal, because he's open for me all over the country. And I'm going to be doing it from my living room. He's going to be doing it from, I guess, his living room. I'm really not sure. And it's going to be a full comedy show, and it's a virtual comedy club. I ain't gonna lie, I'll make a few dollars off it, but I promise you I'm donating money to the new comics, young comics, open mic comics, the comics who aren't working and aren't making any bucks right now. They're in that category. All of us comics have been there. There's a time in your career where you're driving 100 miles hoping to make 50 bucks, and those are the comics not getting paid right now, and I do want to help them out. So anyway, it's going to be a great show. It's going to be a fun show. Support that. I'm working, man. I'm recording all over the place. I'm doing Joe Rogan's podcast this week, which is always fun and huge. That's a huge podcast. I'm doing Wait, Don't Tell Me this weekend. That'll be on. I'm recording another episode of that. That's always fun. So I'm doing all right. And you guys ask, and thank you. I hope wherever you are, you're safe and well-stocked and all of that. We'll talk all of that. And I hope you're wearing a mask, unlike our vice president, who's not wearing a mask. Mike Pence feels he doesn't need to wear a mask. As a matter of fact, he didn't want to wear a mask, okay? The chairman of the White House Coronavirus Task Force went to the Mayo Clinic, which is an amazing medical center, one of the greatest in the world, and he didn't wear a mask. Now, the head of the Food and Drug Administration wore a mask. The governor of Minnesota wore a mask. The administrators of the hospital wore a mask. Pence said he didn't need to wear a mask because he wanted to make eye contact with the patients and the employees. Now, I thought the governor of Florida didn't know how to wear a mask, but if Pence can't wear a mask because he's not going to make eye contact, he is really doing it wrong. Maybe he shouldn't be the chairman. Maybe he should just be on the task force. Maybe there's a remedial task force that shows that when you wear a mask that covers your nose and mouth, your eyes still work. But anyway, he's decided to wear a mask. Here's another idea that would have gotten to wear a mask. They could have said that there was going to be, I think it's single women or unattached women. He can't be in a room alone with a woman. Whatever his weird thing is with women, can't we tell him that the virus is female, and then maybe he would wear a mask? I don't know. I don't honestly know, but he finally gave in and said he's going to wear a mask. He said that he was tested frequently, and he doesn't have the virus or any symptoms, so can breathe on whoever. It'd be nice if he didn't have security around him and just breathed on some random guy who was like, yo, man, it's going to be you and me. Breathe again. It's going to be you and me. But that ain't going to happen. It's just another example of you should lead by example, or at least act like you're, you know, I don't know, act like you're part of the world like other people. But anyway, I don't know what I just did recording, but man, I hope this whole thing is picking up. I really do. Jeez. Shout out to All Things Comedy for taking my homemade recordings and making them into the podcast. I think they do a good job over there. Anyway, moving on. As you know, Donald Trump last week said maybe it's a good idea for us to inject some bleach or cleanser, because a cleanser, you know, it works so well on surfaces, it might work inside of us. And if you can somehow figure out how to get UV rays inside of your body, that might be a good idea. And he said it, and we heard him say it. We were watching the briefing, and you saw his lips moving as the sound of his voice came out. But apparently he didn't say it, or he didn't mean it, because he was roasted for saying it, and doctors were once again face-palming, and he said, well, I was being sarcastic. Now, we know he wasn't being sarcastic because, A, Donald Trump has no sense of humor. B, he's incapable of sarcasm. Sarcasm takes a certain level of intelligence and understanding, which he doesn't possess. And it doesn't matter, because Trump followers, like there's used to be a gap between the lie and a denial, but now it's literally in the same press conference in the next day. He tells a lie, then he says, I didn't say it. His followers, like, either they'll be, he didn't say it, even though we watched him and listened to him say it, or he didn't mean it, or he was just joking, or you heard it wrong, or you out to, some bitch, you out to get him, so you hold everything he says to him saying it, some bitch. So whatever, it doesn't really matter. Now, there has been some rumors out there that weren't exactly true about people shooting up and using the cleansers and poisoning themselves, et cetera, over the weekend. They said the numbers were up. Well, actually, what I've been reading says the numbers, fortunately, the numbers of people poisoning themselves by ingesting these cleansers and bleaches and chemicals didn't go up, but the number of calls about whether or not they should, the inquiries to poison control centers went up all over the country. And in Texas, and worldwide, but particularly in Texas, there's been a big increase. This is weird, but kids are eating hand sanitizer. Yeah, from Ireland to Italy to Australia to the United States, worldwide, kids have been eating hand sanitizer, and they've had to tell the companies that make it, stop making it smell so good. It smells sweet. You've probably smelled it, and they say it has 60 to 70% ethyl alcohol, so it's toxic, and the kids are tasting it. So that's a surprise. For one thing, where the hell are the kids getting the sanitizer? I have yet to see it on the shelves. These kids got a connection. Damn these kids with their sanitizer connection. No, I'm kidding, of course. If you have kids, be careful, man. It's, you know, they're eating Tide Pods. Now they're drinking hand sanitizer. I don't know what the hell's going on, but if you have kids, try to protect them because they're children. And if you have a President Trump, just try to keep an eye on him because he's a fucking idiot. So that should handle the internal cleansing problem, but I doubt it. We've reached 1 million. The United States now has 1 million and counting cases of the coronavirus. We've been number one for a while. We now have 1/3 of the world's cases, and the count is rising. You know, we're number one. We're America. We do things. We go big. Go big or don't go. We're the best. Blah, 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 blah. It's a damn shame. It's a damn shame. And the reason is we're not just up against the coronavirus. We're up against an incredible, and there's no other word for it, an incredible level of ignorance and denial There's just, you can't fight this thing. So now, as you know, the Trumpers, Trump people, have been playing victim again. And they always say that everyone else is a snowflake, but now they're like, why is everything blamed on him? Everything that happens is his fault. Well, that would be because he's the president. And that kind of goes with the job of being president. And when he was taking credit for everything, then you were fine. So now he has to take the blame. So now they're all across the country. They're protesting. We got to open the country back up. Damn it. We volunteer to be the test subjects of whether these this disease, this virus is going to get us. So we'll go to the stores. And so, because that's basically what they're doing. These movements are backed by big money organizations, big money conservative organizations, and these idiots are ready to run out and go back to business. And you know, these people are sitting back in these organizations waiting to see what happens. If these idiots get sick, they're like, eh, we'll hold off for a couple of more weeks. Amazingly, and I just, you know me, you know I love God's sense of humor, and don't for a minute think he doesn't have one. The leader of Reopen North Carolina tested positive for COVID-19. Her name's Audrey Whitlock, and she posted on the Reopen North Carolina Facebook page that her 2-week quarantine was ending. She said she's an asymptomatic positive patient, and she says that her constitutional rights have been violated because she was forced to quarantine and blah, blah, blah. You know what? She is an example of the worst possible scenario. Someone asymptomatic with no symptoms, who's positive, who wants to go into a group and spread the disease. And they love her. They're supporting her right to do this. That's amazing. Okay, I've already talked about the fact that they hold up their stupid signs like the government can't control my body, which all the abortion rights people are like, really? A lot of women are like, tell us about that. And you know, just the COVID virus is a hoax sign carried by a guy who was wearing a full body covering suit, gloves, masks, etc. You know, that's all of that. But to actually have the leader of the movement be infected and say that she shouldn't have to quarantine, she should be allowed to go to her march. You know what I say? Yes. Yes. Go to your march. Now, don't go anywhere else. Don't talk to anyone else. But if you want to get amongst your people, if it violates your constitutional right to meet with your people, these crazy Trumpers who think every business should be open again, then I say go. Why do we stop them? Can't we just allow stupid people to thin the herd? Can't we? On the other end of the spectrum, we have New Zealand. And I talked about this last week with the rich people who've been hiding in New Zealand. They have the multi-million dollar bunkers, et cetera, et cetera. Jacinda Ardern, I'm not sure how she pronounces it. She's a prime minister of New Zealand. You've seen her. Remarkably young, remarkably smart. She's the one who put an end to assault weapons after their mass shooting. But anyway, she says that they beat it. There's no widespread undetected community transmission. There's only 5 million people in New Zealand, but they had one day of no new cases. And then that was on Sunday. On Monday, they had 5. Only 19 people have died. So they've done well with this. And they're going to open some businesses. But isn't this interesting? Businesses and professions that require face-to-face contact, such as hairdressers, salespeople, masseuses, public gyms, and I'm assuming bowling alleys, will remain closed until the alert level is reduced another notch. Your business must be contactless. Your customers can pay online. Delivery and pickup must be contactless. What's interesting about that is, here in the United States, we're doing the exact opposite, okay? Georgia, the thing they did open, hairdressers, nail salons, bowling alleys, gyms, tattoo parlors, things that require intimate person-to-person contact, if not damn near sharing bodily fluids. It defies description. The level of ignorance defies description. And listen, I'm in California. We are not without sin. This past, it got hot. We had instant summer. It went from 60-something degrees to 90-something degrees in 2 days. People went to the beaches. L.A. beaches were closed. They went to the beaches in Ventura. They went to the beaches in Orange County, which are the two counties north and south of L.A. Beaches were crowded. Now, not as crazy as Florida. We don't have the 49 people or less gathering rule. The police were there, particularly in Ventura. You had to keep moving. You could go to the beach, but you had to either go swimming or surfing or have a bicycle or go for a walk. Like, you couldn't just hang out, and you certainly couldn't hang out in groups, which is good, but we were out there. It's happening. You people are getting itchy, getting antsy. I get that. But to actually open businesses that require that sort of intimate contact, and you're, you know, it's not unknown. I mean, you look at New Zealand, it's like, yeah, this is a small population, but you look at New Zealand, you look at South Korea, you look at how they did it, and you're like, oh, well, that makes sense. You know, we should do the exact opposite. Yeah, I think we'll go ahead and do the exact opposite, because in the immortal words of my friend, the brilliant Lewis Black, because why in the fuck not, right? Now, and to give you an example of how this works, because some people are like, how the hell does this happen? It's very simple. For example, gyms, okay? Now, in Trump's, part of Trump's reopen campaign idea, whatever, he included gyms as one of the places that should be open. It's opening up America again. Everything's America again with this guy. So, you know, movie theaters, churches, restaurants, that they should adhere to some social distancing. And gyms were on the list. And people are like, how the hell, why would you open a gym? Now, I love the gym. I miss going to the gym. I am not good at working out at home. I've been trying to learn to jump a rope. Yeah, I've been, my fat old ass is bouncing up and down. It's fun. I'm up to like 50 jumps. I have a new admiration for young girls who can jump double dutch. When I see 8-year-old girls jumping two ropes at a time, wow, you're amazing. But I'm learning. It's kind of my workout. It's kind of fun. And you know, you try to do something, ride a bicycle or whatever. I ride my bicycle. I get flats. I don't know why. I got a flat on a bike. I took it to the bike shop to get fixed. I got a flat in the car to go to the bike shop to pick up the bike that had a flat. I'm not lying. I'm not making that up. I have a problem with air and tires, obviously. But anyway, I miss the gym as much as anybody. But let's be honest. The gym, we're sweating. We're breathing heavy. People are in close proximity to each other. It would seem the last place you want to open during an airborne pandemic. Why the hell would the gyms be opening? Well, it's very simple. Andy Giuliani, who's the son of Rudy Giuliani, happens to own a fitness center. Steve Ross, real estate mogul out of New York, friend and Trump contributor, also happens to own Equinox and SoulCycle. It's that simple. It's that simple. It's like, well, we got to make money. It's follow the money. So if you own Equinox and SoulCycle and you're a big Trump supporter, you call and say, hey, man, I need to open these gyms all across the country, most expensive gyms you can go to. Would you just add those to the list? And Trump said, yeah. And Trump says, screw the governors. I have total control. What? Constitution? Wait, really? I can't do that? All right, well, I'll recommend we open America again. But that's how it happens. And so, yeah, lobbyists, money, that's how it works. I read an interesting, well, I read a lot of interesting articles, but this one, this actually feeds into something I've been saying. And it's the United States of America on the world stage. And this article is written in the New York Times. So, of course, it's fake news, but it's very entertaining, so I like to read it because it's written by people who are very intelligent, who talk to people who are very intelligent, and it's called Fake by an Idiot, which tells me that it's probably true. In the article, Sadness and Disbelief from a World Missing American Leadership, and they talk to people in Europe and so on about the United States. Timothy Garton Ash, who's a professor of European history at Oxford University and loves the United States. And he said, it's just terrible. He said that the United States, for decades after World War II, played a special role with its values and its power, made it a global example to the world. And today, and this was a while ago, because the numbers have gone up, more than 840,000 have been diagnosed, 46,000 have died. Now it's over 1 million and over 50,000 dead. And he said it's just sad. And he said when you see the pictures of the jobless lines, and he said they're just stunned. The man said, I feel a desperate sadness for the United States. And the article goes on to talk about it talks about Trump and his protests against safety measures, et cetera, et cetera. And they said the United States has two great weaknesses in the eyes of many Europeans. The erratic leadership of Trump, whose devalued expertise and refused to follow the advice of scientific advisors, and the absence of a robust public health care system and social safety net. America has prepared for the wrong kind of war. It prepared for a new 9/11, and instead a virus came. Now, to look at the exact opposite, okay? They talked about China. China, very authoritarian measures, while in the U.S. the virus was played down for a long time. And they said these are two extremes, neither of which can be a model for Europe. They see America failing, and I'm just reading parts of the article to you. America failing not only lead the world's response, but letting down its own people. There's not only no global leadership, there's no national leadership, no federal leadership in the United States. And that's from the director of the Growth Lab at Harvard Center of International Development. Now look at Germany. In Germany, Chancellor Merkel, first of all, they say she's not taking enough of a leadership role for Europe, but look what she's doing in Germany. Germany has a robust public health care system. There's a strategy for mass testing. She's done everything Trump has not. She's been clear and honest about the risks right from the start. She'd rallied all 16 state governors behind her. She herself is a trained physicist. Imagine that, an intelligent leader. And she's followed scientific advice from the best everywhere. She has the mind of a scientist and the heart of a pastor's daughter. That's what they said. It's a shame. It honestly is a shame. Mr. Ash, the history professor, also said that the United States does have the world's biggest economy, and no one who knows who's going to jumpstart the world economy after this. But he said the U.S. should take a warning from history. Empires have fallen. Empires have fallen. Now, there's some hope. They talked about the election coming up. They talked about after the Great Depression, the United States came up with the New Deal, which was a safety net, and maybe the United States will come together for a healthcare safety net similar to, you know, Social Security, etc. after the New Deal. I don't know. They're a bit more optimistic than me. I don't think these people have seen the Tiger King. I think if you see the Tiger King, you're like, yeah, maybe we won't bounce back. Honestly, I don't know, but I've been saying this, that the United States, I mean, and in the article they talked about it, you know, from destroying fascism to bringing down the wall in Berlin to winning, you know, winning the Cold War to an example of democracy to the world. The United States was the world leader, and now we are the biggest example of what not to do on every level, whether it be governing, science, healthcare, economics, you name it, we're doing it wrong. The entire world is watching. And this Trump thing, I've said it over and over, and I still say it. If it wasn't real, it would be a joke. But it's real. And of course, you know, the Trump people will be like, what the hell do they know? They're foreigners and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? They're the entire world. They're the entire world. So if it's the entire world saying you're doing it wrong, then maybe, just maybe, we're doing it wrong. I mean, Trump's even mad at Fox News. This is just a side story. He says that they should give back the, he said they should give back their Nobel Prizes. Now, by Nobel Prizes, he meant Nobel Prizes, and by Nobel Prizes, he meant Pulitzer Prizes, which is what reporters get. But this is the level that we're dealing with. So Germany has a physicist in a national healthcare system in there. The physicist is listening to scientists and talking to governors, and we have a guy tweeting about phony stories and Nobel Prizes. It defies any logic. It defies any belief. And it'll be curious to see how it turns out. Once again, millennials, I know a few of you listen to me. I joke about you. I don't know what to say. I wish you the best. We're leaving you a hell of a legacy. We had the world's biggest recession. Now we're following it with a pandemic. Who knows what the fuck we're going to do to you next? I don't know. I don't know, millennials. We'll come up with some other shit. Okay, boomer. Yeah, you should probably come up with a stronger fight than that. But, and finally, because there has to be a finally. You probably heard this, that Governor Andy Beshear of Kentucky had to make an apology to Tupac Shakur. You see, he was doing his daily press briefing and he talked about the unemployment and it's being slowed down by fraud and an example of fake claims. There's a fraudulent claim. Someone thought it would be funny to file a claim in the name of Tupac Shakur. And what he found out is, well, in Kentucky, there actually is a guy named Tupac Shakur. He is a 46-year-old cook. He worked at a restaurant called Alfalfa's and he has been laid off. Tupac goes by Malik, but his legal name is Tupac Shakur. Not related to the rapper, okay? And when he got the apology, Shakur said, I ain't mad at you, because some things just work out. Thank you so much for listening. Once again, May 7th, nowherecomedyclub.com. I will be doing comedy with Mal Hall. Tickets are $10, $15. Let's sell it out. Please, let's sell it out so I can make a little money to help other comics, because that makes a difference. You guys make a difference. Who's paying attention? You are. Limit your TV news. Watch something else. Have some fun. Try to laugh. If you go out, just do it safely. Just look at Mike Pence, and whatever he does, you do the opposite, because you're smarter than that. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you guys.